If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the rightstuff.biz.
Oh, it is the Daily Show, number 1139. Hey, what's up? You know you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks.
An episode number that will not just sort of masquerade as like a weak pretense to start talking about bad movies.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
If we wanna talk about Star Wars or anything else starts with war, we're just gonna have to like hard sig you into it.
The right stuff.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That was a rare one.
The right stuff.
I forgot about that one.
Daily Show Up.
The Daily Show Up.
Wow. Just tried out all the rare ones anyway.
Tonight, you will get your dick ripped off.
I'll allow it. So we're here. Right. It's Monday. We're going to...
that last drop that was for Ron DeSantis?
Well, he ripped his own off.
You've seen those tweets going around?
Where it's like, let's see how gay Ron DeSantis is.
He's like, thank you, Mr. Trump.
I actually watched his stupid announcement, and I was like, wow, this guy is fucking gay.
Did the Republican Party, all of the Zionism and the mainstream media just sort of conspire to make it clear that, like, you couldn't be more, like, absolutely right if you tried about this?
For me?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, you said last week, it's like that the Jews are consolidating support around Trump. They're yes. getting over it. And then you have this announcement where he's basically, he's basically taking a knee about the guy that called him like small dick, whatever.
Yeah.
And gay. And he's like the guy with all the Jewish support, all the Jewish money is like passing it on to
passing the baton
to Donald Trump. Like in the greatest, one of the most pathetic surrenders I've ever heard about. And Jews are just like, let's go.
He actually threw, like, this is silly because it doesn't, Trump is going to be the nominee, and then it's sort of a coin toss. Literally, I think it's a coin toss. You think he's going to lose? I think it's a coin toss whether he wins the presidency. I don't know. But in his announcement, DeSantis, like, took jabs at Trump. He said he jabs at him, get this, on COVID shit. He said, I disagreed with him on COVID and his elevating of Anthony Fauci to, like, national prominence. But nonetheless, he's better than Biden. That's what he said.
Wasn't Anthony Fauci not a prominent national figure, but because no one wanted to work for the Trump administration, like, he was just, like, a middle manager that had to, like, take the role of spokesman for that whole thing?
Well, a couple things.
Like,
on that.
Who was, like, Trump had, like, Trump couldn't nominate somebody.
Couple things. I think, yeah.
That's how
it was.
Remember
part of it was that, like, Trump, he was like a, I don't remember exactly what his job was, but he was, like, not the top guy. He was, like, third or fourth or fifth from the top. It's a job he had been in, like, forever, right? He'd been in that job.
And there were no top people because, like people were like, yeah, I don't want this on my resume.
It was, like, a career post, not a political post, that he had. And he had it for a long time.
Yeah.
And the other thing was that the actual head of CDC, Rochelle Walensky, is Jewish and couldn't be the figure to take heat because Jews generally don't want to be the ones that take the heat.
Like, Fauci's not CDC. He's something with the
federal. He was something else, right?
He's with the federal, like, Department of Health or something.
Right. I don't remember exactly what his job is or was. You can look it up. But it was some reason. But it's odd that CDC wouldn't be the front people on this, right?
Right.
But the media and Fauci, like, seem to cooperate with this. But, so I am curious what exactly his job was. It was some career post at some, was it Department of Health or something? I don't fucking know.
I don't know what he was under.
Yeah. But in any case, it would have made sense for Rochelle Walensky to be out there constantly, but she wasn't. Or she was.
Second chief medical advisor to the president. That's under Biden. What was he under?
Yeah, he was elevated to that under Biden as like an own on the cons. But in any case, that's sort of funny that that's where DeSantis went. But yeah, I am now just actually curious. I'll leave it to you to figure
it out. All right. I'm on Wikipedia right now. Fauci had not met with Trump until 3 years after he was inaugurated as president. Fauci was a member of the White House task force or White House coronavirus task force. Thank God he did such a great job under President Trump to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic swiftly. And I have no complaints. He became de facto public health spokesperson for the office of the president during the pandemic. Are they going to tell me what he was? I guess they don't want to do that.
He was the director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, from 1984 to 2022. Chief medical advisor to the president, 2021 to 2022. So, yeah, that's actually what he was. I'm not sure.
Is that like an NGO or is that a government office? Like the National Institute of Allergies?
That's something that could be looked up. I think I'm not sure what that is. Medical advisor to the president is...
Yeah, that's under... Like that's some, Biden. That's like the flex. But I'm just like, where did he come from? Did Trump not have a surgeon general?
Is that what happened? Here it is. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is one of the 27 institutes and centers that make up the National Institute of Health. Right. He was from NIH, and yes, he had been in this job since 1984 as the director of this one of 27 branches of the NIH, and I presume that they didn't have a head of NIH, and that's why he ultimately took the sort of prominent role that he took. And then he became... presidential advisor under Biden as like an own on conservatives. But he kind of stepped into this role. And it's very interesting. I always thought it was very funny. And I would always challenge the COVID people, like, why don't you attack Rochelle Walensky? Why are you all focusing on Fauci? Oh, well, the reason is because Fauci was created by the media.
Yeah.
He was there to be hated. That was his job. He was there to go to these congressional hearings and to get berated by like Jim Jordan.
Guys be like, best I could do is pretend I think Fauci's Jewish. Will that work? I'm gonna spin insane yarns about how he's actually Jewish.
Yeah, but he's not.
It's like, but if I do that, I don't have to attack the lady that actually is Jewish. I could just keep attacking this guy.
But it's also like you could also just attack the lady that is Jewish if you want to keep going with your scams. But then the thing is, because you're not. It's not like the people that would have been doing that would have lost out by doing that. It's that they were actually just following a mainstream narrative that was being put out there by like the mainstream conservative movement. And Ron DeSantis is trying to, frankly, part of the whole failure of Ron DeSantis is the failure generally of the strategy of doubling down on COVID now, because nobody cares. Like, except for like a very small base of crazy people, nobody gives a shit anymore. Even people that were super mad are like, well, it's over with. Like, let's just press forward. And they're not forcing anyone to get shot, so what's to be mad about anymore? So, like, literally, Ron DeSantis is banking that his COVID stance, like keeping the beaches open in Florida, would...
Do we have any like video footage of the beaches open in Florida? Oh, that's right. It's like all black people killing each other.
Right. When you open the beaches in Florida, what do you get, though? That's actually a very true and funny point. What do you get? Let's go look at spring break Miami Beach.
See how that goes.
What do we get?
It doesn't look anything like MTV spring break from like 30 years ago.
Yeah, from like the 90s. No, nothing like that.
Looks like GTA.
The other funny thing is there was something else funny about this.
I just pulled up... what is this guy's name? Jerome Adams. Remember Jerome Adams? As I wondered out loud, did Trump not have a surgeon general? Like, what? Jerome Adams.
Was he the Florida attorney general? Surgeon general? Didn't they not?
You know, he came from Indiana.
DeSantis nominated. He fired the actual Florida surgeon general. It was a white dude who was the Florida surgeon general. In like during COVID, because the guy was just sort of endorsing whatever the mainstream, like big national health institutes and pharma companies were saying, he was just going along with it. So DeSantis fired him, and he put in place like an anti-vax nigger. And that's sort of cases. That's kind of like setting the trend of like where the GOP wants to go. It's like, yeah, you hate like you think you hate affirmative action, but the GOP promotes unqualified niggers like no affirmative action needed. They're just going to do it inherently. They're just going to put them out there.
So in February 2020, Jerome Adams was appointed to the task force for dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Adams initially downplayed the risk from COVID-19 by comparing it to the flu, which was criticized by experts. He also strongly implored people to not buy or use face masks because he said they were not effective in preventing the general public from catching COVID-19 and that wearing a mask would actually increase the risk of catching the virus. That's just absolutely untrue.
That doesn't...
Like,
yeah,
that's just retarded. That's just retarded shit.
Stupid.
And then this is in line with other health experts. This was in line with other health, including Anthony Fauci, who were working on limited information at the time. So Fauci said that too? Did somebody like sneak in here?
There's a citation needed there, dude. Like legitimately a citation needed.
All that's in there is a link to Fauci. Mm-hmm. There's no citation there. So I think a pureblood snuck in and edited that sentence.
I would absolutely put a citation needed there.
So then you have,
I think that citation, like I legitimately wonder where they're getting that. And if there is a citation for it.
I don't have an account, so I can't. But Adams later retracted this recommendation because he said there was new information about asymptomatic spread of the virus. Politico reported in April 2020 that Adams had been largely...
That was just vaccine shedding.
And then he was largely...
That was protein shedding.
They didn't have that yet, I don't think, April 2020. Adams had largely been sidelined by the administration. So he was so retarded that the Trump administration sidelined him. And that's why they went with Fauci.
How'd you come up with this dude?
Huh?
Where'd you pull this guy from? Like, why were you...
Well, we were talking about Fauci, and I was like, because, you know... The Trump administration had that widespread problem that no one wanted to work in the administration. So I was like, did he not have a surgeon general? Like, why was Fauci the spokesperson for the COVID pandemic? Like,
oh yeah, did he have a surgeon general?
Well, that's who I got. It's Jerome Adams. Nigger who's obviously like woefully unqualified for the post. So it says Adams expressed concern that the George Floyd protests could lead to a spike in COVID-19 cases, and that's the most important thing, bros.
Mm-hmm.
While you're out there burning down cities in the name of a fucking criminally drug-addicted nigger, make sure you don't spread COVID around. Based on the way the disease spreads, there is every reason to expect we will see new clusters and potentially new outbreaks moving forward. When asked about African-Americans' increased risks from COVID, Adams replied that African-Americans and Latinos should avoid alcohol, drugs, and tobacco. It's like, just say that anytime. What does that have to do with COVID? They should also, like, avoid fentanyl and cocaine and everything else. Do it for your abuela. Do it for your granddaddy. Do it for your big mama. Do it for your pop. Public health experts criticize his assertions as misleading and lacking adequate context.
Dude.
So then he was, look who he was fucking replaced by. So Biden requested his resignation in 2021. Now we have Vivek Murphy. Look at this fucking bitch. That's your search in general.
Oh my God.
Please do be complying with pandemic protocols, sir. Please, sir. I open ticket, close. Open cloth, close mask. We are going to be very healthy nation. Very, very healthy. Much good health in the United States. Thank you, President Joe Biden. I will be doing the Surgeon Generaling.
Like, really, what's so funny is because I wasn't actually paying attention to what, like, Ron DeSantis was saying during his campaign that much.
Oh, yeah.
He was really actually trying desperately to make COVID, like, still matter.
Well, that was his signature move. Like, he was, wasn't he the only governor that was like, fuck all this shit? Or at least he's the only one that was, like, loudly, like, fuck all this shit.
He was making, he was planning on running on it. I mean, even then.
I remember that.
Even back then, that was going to be his strategy. And the problem is, like, it just didn't last as long. And the resentments over it didn't last as long as he wanted. And
also, like, the anti-COVID scene is a lot smaller than anyone wants to admit. It's like,
oh, yeah. It was never that big. I mean, it might not have shrunk. It might just be the same size it always was.
I think it's like 30% of Republicans or something. Not even of the whole.
Right, right.
Like 30% of Republicans.
Most Republican voters.
Yeah.
Like, got vaxxed. And the other funny thing is, like, a lot of anti-vaxxers, like, just got vaxxed. And they were just doing anti-vax stuff, like, for fun because they thought it was funny, but they were actually just vaxxed. Because if you looked at the vaccine rates of people older than, like, effectively boomers in America, they're very high. And the actual, yes, both, right. They're high on vaccine and weed. And, yeah, like for younger people, you can just smoke weed and you don't need the vaccine, right?
Right,
but yeah, I started getting this sneaking suspicion in like 2022 that like a lot of the people doing anti-vax stuff for fun online were actually also just like vaxxed.
We know Tucker was, Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
They were all over him for that. What'd you say, Alex?
The thing is, too, you also have a subset of people who didn't get vaccinated and then they weren't assholes about it. They were just like, yeah, I didn't get the vaccine. I moved on with my life. And
that was
didn't
like me, but I was an asshole.
Cry on the internet about it.
I didn't get it, but people always accuse me of it.
Because they're assholes about it. Like, yeah,
but I just, if I wanted to get it, I would have.
That's
just
risky. I'm not getting that shot.
Yeah. I legitimately.
You have to, though.
I legitimately.
One of my local boomers surprised me because I thought he had gotten it. Because he didn't really talk about vaccines hardly at all, one way or the other. And there's like, yeah, no, I didn't really want
to
get it.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, though.
I was like, oh, wow, there you go.
My decision not to get it was not based in any political consideration. It was legitimately based in, is this good for me personally or not? That was my only consideration. Like, if I get this, well, I put myself, because you know I'm an asthmatic, yeah. And I didn't know what kind of interaction a vaccine for a respiratory virus could have with my condition. And I was like, I've made the choice to risk not getting it rather than getting it. And that was the only criteria.
Yeah.
Because if I made a different calculation, I would have gone and gotten it. But in a calculation, I have more risk of dying if I get COVID than I do if I get the vaccine. I will get the vaccine. But my calculation was, I think I can just sit this one out. And so I did. And that was my only criteria. And frankly, I think that for anybody, if you had a different criteria in choosing whether or not to get a shot, I think it's kind of dumb.
It's a bioweapon.
I think it's a kind of stupid. I mean, it was a bioweapon, then you made a judgment that I shouldn't inject a bioweapon. Like, again, like, you know, like, but that's, I really think that should have always been people's reasoning. Like, is this thing personally,
bro, what
like,
if
good for my health?
What if not? What if the fucking bioweapon is what they release after everyone's done getting vaccinated, and you, the non-vaxxed, you're just going to die from the bioweapon? So you could get the shot. That makes. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I wonder if there is any constituency of people who were like diehard COVID-tards that like went for the DeSantis pitch. Like, literally, were like, I'm not voting Trump because DeSantis is better on COVID. Because my suspicion is that the diehard COVID-tards.
Yeah, Trump
just,
was bad on COVID.
Technically, yes.
Trump sidelined his based black Surgeon General who said not to wear masks.
I mean, if you're. Well, the other perspective, if you're a libtard, Trump was great on COVID.
Masks are very effective.
Well, people that wore masks, like, found themselves not getting sick from a lot of other things.
Well,
not just not getting COVID, but, like, stopped getting colds and shit like that.
There was a video I watched of some vax. Of a COVID-tard. He was, like, owning anti-vax, anti-mask people. He did it by, he put on a face mask and he went out in the cold weather and exhaled. It's like,
see all
my breath going? It's like, well, COVID wasn't airborne. Like, the mask's not stopping, like, all your breath. It's supposed to stop your fucking sputum. Like, if you cough or you spit, like, the virus would be in your spit. So the mask.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it wasn't air. If it was airborne, everyone would have fucking had it.
Well,
everyone would have got it. No, but it was like,
yeah.
It was like, it had to be like, it was spit that would land on, like, The original claim was like, if you got a fucking booger on a piece of fucking, like, on the table here or on a piece of cardboard, that the virus would live there for 14 days. Is what they were claiming initially.
I think they
ratcheted that down, but that's how the virus. It was not an airborne virus, so the mask was not about your breath. It was about your fucking spit and your fucking boogers.
Micro particles of stuff that flies out of your mouth.
That's
anyway,
what it's for.
Well, whatever.
It's effective for that.
From the political side,
I think you should still wear a mask. Actually, I think everyone should stay.
Just don't open your mouth.
Everyone should stay home. To me,
this would have been the perfect opportunity to make progress on consumer grade powered air respirators.
We didn't need air respiration though. It wasn't an airborne virus. You just need people not spitting on each other.
He's talking about people in the hospital.
Oh, people in the hospital. We said consumer grade. That means like I have like
if you want to wear like a truly effective system that's positive pressure and keeps you from contracting shit, that should be everywhere. Imagine that. Imagine if those became normalized and you just didn't have flu season.
Do you
anymore.
Remember the headphones with?
I could be a persistent vegetative state at home.
Some company invented like headphones with a mask.
Oh, really? I didn't
Do you
see
remember
that.
This?
No, I didn't see that.
It was headphones, like high-end headphones that had like a face mask component to it that would like, I don't know, it was just like two things in one. And I remember I watched even, like they did like some pitch video about it and they had people, they tested it with people like wearing it and they found like people felt really stupid wearing it.
I want
so it might not be successful. It's like Google Glass, like, yeah, I just feel like an asshole wearing this, so I'm just going to not. Like, it's just not going to be a successful product because everyone just feels like an asshole with it.
My full face shield with my fucking hosing going into it. I want to feel like I'm in a post-apocalyptic movie.
You were. You are.
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Yeah, we still are.
Yeah.
Everybody should get a different one, and so we could all be like different Star Trek aliens. Like, our bodies are just humans. We have weird head attachments just because that's what the makeup department could come up with. You know, and
one of the things about living in this particular civilization, or, well, it's not a civilization.
Yeah.
You know, right.
But it's economic zone.
There's no like National judgment mode on you if you decide that you want to wear a full powered respirator and go out in public like that. Like, what? Somebody going to tell you to take it off?
Oh, dude, you want to hear one of my best like trolls of the sort of dissident right, far right spheres that we find ourselves in?
Dissident
about the mask thing. This pissed people off, but I'm going to say it now because, hey, we don't bother to not say things that piss people off at this show. We just say whatever we want, even no matter who pisses off. So I was like holding back on this. I said it a few times, but I'm just going to say it now. And I actually believe this. The mask thing was great because if you want to wear a mask, you could do so with no social stigma. And why should you not want to wear a mask going out with all the facial recognition shit that's going to Israel all over this fucking country? Why should you not want to not have every fucking camera recording the data and sending it to fucking Palantir, to some faggot like Peter Thiel, or these kikes in their fucking security companies in Israel, like tracking your face everywhere? No, wear a mask and confuse their shit and do it. There's no stigma for doing it. And frankly, right now, you could still do it sort of, but you'll get looks now for wearing a mask. I don't like that. I think people should be allowed to wear masks around. Just do it.
Wear a mask. It's a Palestinian flag.
Right. Do it.
Everyone will leave you alone.
Boycott Israel. I mean, it's like, who are you trying to impress?
I think that
like,
actually was the troll where I said, wear a mask, it says the Holocaust is fake, and then
that's
we got
the mask
those.
I have.
Yeah. I mean, that was born out of that. No, you should be allowed to wear masks. Fuck, why should you show your face in this country? Fuck this country.
Yeah, and this country is incoherent. Every time I go outside and go to a store, it's like being in a fucking, I don't know, the Star Wars cantina every single time.
Except not entertaining.
Not as cringe.
Yeah.
No, more cringe.
I look around and I'm like, I don't even know what
that is. At least the Star Wars cantina had a sense of fun.
Yeah, but it's cringe now.
It had like a lively sense of fun.
It's like referencing Star Wars at all is like cringe.
It's
cringe
also
now.
Like it was at the beginning of a film franchise that many people hold dear to their hearts. So you feel, you don't, well, all right.
We're in now.
I feel like I'm at the United Nations, you know, like none of these people are from where I'm from.
Also,
I'm surrounded by foreigners.
The United Nations is based. They condemn Israel all the time.
Yeah, I fucking love the UN, dude. It's great. But
I'm glad we pay like
80%
of their budget.
We should send more to the UN. So they can condemn Israel more. But you want to talk about takes that are going to get right-wingers like irrationally angry? But like, the other thing is,
they're already irrational.
Right. We want them to be rationally angry. I'm trying to get you to be rationally angry. But in those Asian countries that have all those people in them, like, even... You know,
not the depopulated Asian countries.
Even
the ones
before,
that are highly populated.
Even before, I know that their birth rates are like going down, but there's still a shit ton of people in them, and they're still very crowded. Like even Japan is still a very crowded place, even though its birth rate is going down. But like, even prior to like COVID, like they would there's just people wearing face masks all the time because it's so fucking crowded.
Because they get SARS.
That they just it wasn't even that. Like even before SARS, they were doing.
Oh,
it.
Really?
Like, they just as part of their culture, they just there's a lot of people just walking around with those masks because they don't want to get sick because the cities that they live in are super crowded. Now, our cities are actually just as crowded and probably more bioactive, if you will. Probably more diseases going around. You got people from all over the world coming in all the time. Remember, like, fucking Ebola?
Oh, yeah. I remember Ebola.
I mean, now Ebola it was obviously significantly harder to contract than COVID. Otherwise, it would have been a big problem. But yeah,
I remember I was at the airport on planes while that happened. Like there was an outbreak at an airport. It's like, oh, good.
Yeah,
this is good for me.
I admit I was irrationally afraid of Ebola, but that's probably because what happens is so terrible. Supposedly, your blood vessels deteriorate.
Well, also, well, it was that, and there was also the diversity standards.
Yeah, no, they were objectively saying we're not
safety was compromised all over the country because we don't want to imply these Africans might have Ebola. And
yes, and that was something that we made a point of on our show in the very early days of the show, which is that they are basically not taking. There is an outbreak of a very nasty disease that makes people die in horrible suffering, and they're not taking any precautions to avoid racism. Yeah,
they weren't disallowing travel from those nations or anything. It was like, nah, it's fine.
It's such a small step. Just shut down. Just don't let people come in from those countries while that shit is going on. And they had all these excuses like that would actually make it worse. It's like, oh, really? Yeah. So when COVID hit, then we just don't shut down board? Oh, we did.
Eventually. They had to fight about that, too.
Now, the fact was that, they did, but...
When COVID hit, you were supposed to, hug your Chinese friends.
That was it at first. See, that was all that... See, I was caught... We've been through this history before, but I'm going to just go through it again. I was totally blindsided, and I will admit this. I was blindsided by the political anti-COVID movement because I was on the side of, dude, libtards are literally telling you to go out and hug chinks. For anti-racism. And then, everyone got, a firmware update.
And the niggers
were
out there beating them. Niggers, beat chinks at the train station.
Niggers beating up chinks and, spraying them with aerosol cans and shit. Niggers were, niggers were spraying, and the chinks were... There was at the same time when they were trying to do the Stop Asian Hate shit, it kind of coincided. Those things kind of coincided. And the Stop Asian Hate was literally, Asians kind of hey, Jews, if you don't stop niggers attacking us, we're going to start our own ethnic activist movement, and we have a lot of money, so you better do something about these niggers attacking us. And they kind of got someplace, but I think nigger attacks on Asians are still pretty high. They're actually pretending the nigger crime spree is just over now. That's kind of funny. There's a new narrative they put out, and it was in the Atlantic recently. We can go over what they're saying, but it's just what it is. They're just not talking about it anymore. They decided to just stop talking about it. There you go. See, I should have one.
There you go. Now I've got my powered respirator on.
In any case, it's fun. I think it does work. Walk down memory lane because of Ron DeSantis leaving. But the sort of the political question I had is were any of the COVID-tards actually persuaded by DeSantis to go with him rather than Trump? Because technically Trump, if you just objectively look at the policies, if you were a libtard, you actually had nothing to complain about with Trump on COVID. He funded Operation Warp Speed or whatever it was, Lights, whatever the fuck it was, to get the
Warp
vaccine
Speed,
out.
I think, yeah.
He was doing what needed, from their perspective, what needed to be done. And DeSantis, from the perspective of the COVID tards, was doing what you wanted, and you've turned your back on him, and it's funny, it's almost like he's bitter about it. When he gave his little announcement, it's like he's still trying to make that COVID shit part of his legacy or something, because he still got in shots at Trump. He said I endorse Trump despite his stances on COVID.
Okay,
and despite
his
stance on Fauci, but nonetheless, he's better than Biden. And I'm like, what you've admitted is that your attempt at making COVID still a relevant national political issue just failed. And probably even some of the biggest COVID-tards were just I'm going to vote for Trump because they just always liked Trump. I mean, you could not tell these people the truth about Trump and COVID. They would reject it. They wouldn't believe you if you told them, he's funded all this. He's done basically everything that they wanted him to do. On it, you probably couldn't tell a libtard this either, because they're probably equally invested in the image of Trump as the leader of the schizo right. Now if you read I hate using this term elite journals, but if you read the kinds of papers that middle class, upper middle class libtards read, or people that are involved in financial investments and things like that read, if you read New York Times or Financial Times and shit like that, they actually try to put this message out to people that no, Trump was actually not bad on it, or places like the Atlantic and such. But the wider mainstream, because most libtards don't even read that shit. They watch, they read like fucking Daily Beast, and they watch like MSNBC, which is just like trash. It's like the it's just as bad as conservative trash, right? Anyway, it's sort of funny, but yeah, my view is, I said this yesterday. As soon as I heard that, saw the news about DeSantis, like, okay, the Jews are definitely consolidating behind Trump. It's clear. And as I said on prep, I don't, Alex hasn't heard this take yet, but Tim Scott announced his engagement to be married to that white woman this weekend, which makes me think he's probably going to be the vice president, because I'm sure that like consultants are like, oh yeah, we would want him, but we don't, he's single, and the rumors that he's a fag. I mean, he probably is gay, but like, it looks better if he's going to be VP for him to have a wife. So he got engaged. Like, I will bet you $1 million. And that's why I said, you know, Tim Scott's shares on Predicted should go up, but we'll see. I might put a little bit of money in there just to see if I can get a little small little windfall on Tim Scott. But I'm not recommending anybody do any gambling. I don't recommend it. But yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Shit. I was trying to look into this question of like, what is important to voters in 2024? Because the obvious one's the economy. It's always
economy,
right?
Is always number one. My understanding is that crime and immigration are near the top.
Well, I was looking at this article in The Guardian.
COVID the key is pretty close to the bottom right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. What are the key issues in 2024 U.S. elections? You got economy. You got some quality bullshit. Abortion's in there. Nah, fuck abortion. Anyway, you go down to foreign policy. In this paragraph, I find fascinating. A foreign policy, the Israel-Gaza war presents a fiendish proposition for Biden. How to satisfy or merely mollify both the Israel lobby and large sections of his own party,
you
particularly
can't.
The left and young sympathetic to Palestinians. And like, so that's where the conversation is. We have this Israel lobby. We got these guys. And if you're in a United States politician, you got to figure out how to like
navigate
tiptoe.
This. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Like what the fuck? Why is it normalized?
It's amazingly
lobby.
Normalized. Like, I was reading an article about this proposal that Bernie Sanders put on the floor, which, if you think about it, given how the United States presents itself, should have won like 100-0, right? Because all it says is like, I would like a report to be done, because it's like, if the idea is if you pass this resolution, that's going to require Congress, or it's going to require like whatever federal agencies to within 30 days present a report of investigation into whether or not U.S. equipment sent to Israel is being used in accordance with international law. Now, according to some obscure law passed, this was following up on some law passed in like early 1970s, giving Congress the power to do this should they want to. And it's not just for Israel, it's theoretically for any country. And it passed, I'm sure that law in 1970, whatever, passed overwhelmingly because it sounds good, right? Like, yeah, like, let's give ourselves the ability to check on whether the weapons... And it's probably also a way to, like, mollify, like, people that are, oh, we don't like the Vietnam War and the weapons industry. You know, it's sort of like, it was like a fig leaf to probably peaceniks back then. But it probably passed because it's like, well, we would never violate international law. But he puts this on the floor to vote for. They voted down overwhelmingly. It got more support than I had expected. Something like 13 people voted for it. It was like 11 or maybe 12, like 10 or 11 Democrats and Rand Paul voted for it. But the rest of people voted against it. And everybody was signaling against it, saying, oh, this is a terrible idea. It's awful. And I was reading about it in the New York Times. And one of the top paragraphs, they started out by saying, like, Jewish and Zionist groups have been fiercely like lobbying against it, and that was presented just like it's like, okay, yeah. So we have Jewish Zionist groups fiercely lobbying against the United States investigating whether weapons that they send to other governments are being used in accordance with international law, which the United States pretends it is the main enforcer of, or the main
rules-based order.
Right, exactly right.
Rules-based order.
Dude, Russia apparently said recently, Maria Zakharova, or however you say her name, said There's a way that all of Russia shall say it. It's like they're like as if they're very familiar with it, but I can't pronounce it. It's like whatever. You know, she's like their foreign spokesperson, I think. Or something like that. I'd have to look exactly. Anyway, she said that Germany is backing Israel against the claims that it's committing genocide because Washington requires support for the Jewish state as part of its rules-based international order. And I was like, that's a very interesting statement. Because I said, I was talking to James about this, and I said to him, I said, I'm surprised that what she didn't say was say, like, Germany is defending Israel because Germany is also, like, a genocider state. Because that seems like what the Russians would say. And he was like, well, they do say that pretty regularly, but they never say it about Jews. They always say it about Russians. And this is a complaint that Jews make about Russia, is that they make the Holocaust or the crimes of the German government, the crimes of the Nazi government, as if, you know, the crimes, right? As if they were targeting Russians, not Jews. And this is also something that, like, Holocaust affirmers use when people trot out the idea that the Holocaust narrative was an invention of the Soviets, which is something I disagree with. I think the Soviets were part of it, but I actually think a large part of the creation of the Holocaust mythos was totally Western. It was coming from, like, the United States. Jews in the Western world significantly invented the Holocaust narrative. But they invented it about the places that they couldn't access, right? So, but yeah, it's that's kind of interesting thing for them to say. That kind of shows that Russia is just like, well, what's the point in pretending anymore? Right? Like, what is even the point? But that's an interesting statement that they made. But yeah, this you would think that America, this is part of the problem that they're having. It's because it's like the image and the reality are totally different. I've been an anti-war protester for over 20 years now, okay? I've hated U.S. foreign policy since they bombed Serbia in the 90s. That's what politicized me. That's what first got me interested in politics, because I heard they were bombing a country that part of my family came from. It was made me angry, so I started looking into it, and I decided I hate the U.S. government, and I've never looked back since. And right. I hated the Iraq War too. I was
against the Iraq War. It's like that was one of the, I think the first geopolitical position I ever took. I was like, why the fuck are we going into Iraq?
I have never taken seriously any claims of America to be an upholder of international law. This whole America is a terrorist state, I've been saying it for 20 fucking years. Israel is a terrorist state, I've been saying it for 20 years. But I can understand if there are people who weren't paying attention or didn't know or didn't care, and this now is their first introduction to this insane fucking schism, this insane bifurcation between America as presented and America as what it really is. And the Jewish state, the fucking Jewish Israel state, is the fucking point at which this
I can hear my kids running around upstairs, right? In Palestine, children are being fucking killed, bombed. Right. And when you think about that, you feel like, there's like a level of like guilt almost. Like, why is this being allowed to happen? Why can we not fucking stop this?
Well,
it's disgusting. Like, you should have like strong moral impulses when you objectively look at the situation.
Right. Well, I do. And that's why, like, I refuse to, like, just for the sake of what some would say is like political expediency, not actually.
Yeah, it's not political opportunism to look at the fucking Gaza Strip and like these children missing their limbs and being like, oh my God, that's a fucking horror show. Why are we letting these Jews get away with this shit?
Right. And this is also why I fucking hate Jews. Like, this is actually the spawn point for that position when I started looking at this shit years ago. And it's so much worse. And you know what? Knowing Jews as well as I've gotten to know them as much as I've learned over the course of being like kind of everything we've learned about Jews in the course of doing the show and these politics.
Yeah.
And then applying that already to the anti-Israel feelings. And then when this war kicked off, I was like, bro, they're going to fucking try and kill all of these people. And we're right. And they are. And they're trying to just their fucking whole thing. They are just stalling and trying to get away with it. Now, I don't know. We talked about last week. I talked about it with Lewis on the show with Borzoi and Lewis. what the possible scenarios of that are, and none of them are really actually good for Israel. Like, I don't actually think they can get away with committing genocide. But who knows? Yeah. But who knows? But it's very... But the thing that started this conversation was the normalizing the fact that there's a lobby of Jews out there that just effectively just, like, subvert democracy constantly. And this is something that is just talked about as if it's just a fact of life. Oh, yeah, like, if you were to ask the American people, again, as stupid and uninformed as they might be, should weapons that we send to other countries be used in accordance with international law? With no other context, right? Don't add other context. When you add other context, you're trying to get a particular result. Ask them just the question straight up. You would probably get, like, near unanimous people saying, yeah, of course, obviously, we should not let countries that we send weapons to violate international law, right? Yet Congress can't.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Vote that way. Only one reason. It's because of fucking Jews. And they have to then invent a story for that. Think about this if you're in Congress. You have to go out there and justify why it is that you say we cannot investigate whether or not weapons we send to Israel are used in accordance with international law, and this is the right and proper and moral stance. Because you can't confess the truth, which is you're just owned by kikes. You can't confess that. So how do you tell people that? How do you explain that? What's the spin? Now, John Kirby had to go out there, our favorite guy. He's like, it's unworkable. Why? Why?
I just told you why. I said it was unworkable.
Yeah, I just gave you the information.
I just told you it was unworkable. That's why. Why is it unworkable? Because it's unworkable. I told you.
Yeah. But you had to present it. Like, you had to be morally. What they do, and this is what it's called chutzpah, right? And this is why Jews developed chutzpah as a strategy. Because what they want and what they need done is so morally indefensible that literally you don't want to argue with people on rational terms. You need to thunderstrike them. You need to go on the attack. The person that wants to check whether they're doing something is that you're the genocidal one. Because you don't want to check that Jews aren't doing something bad, because that means you hate Jews and you want to kill all the Jews. And a lot of people are going to be like deer in the headlights. And like, what? What?
There is a little bit of a life hack you can do to get around that. It's called being an anti-Semite.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, just be an anti-Semite. just be the yes guy. Just be, yeah. Yes, I'm applying special scrutiny to Jews. Yes, that's right, Jews. It's you're actually afraid that I'm applying special scrutiny to you because you know you deserve it. You know you deserve special scrutiny, Jews, because you know you are particularly badly behaved.
Yeah.
So you deserve special scrutiny. Yes, Israel is uniquely... Jews are uniquely, as a people, unsuited to have a state. Jews are uniquely as a people undeserving of a state. They should not have one. The rest of the world, for its own security, should not allow Jews to have a state. And yes, this really only applies to them. Because look what they do.
Yeah. Somebody had posted on the forum about an article, I guess it was like the late 90s, talking about Israel and how Israelis are constantly trying to just win at all costs in any kind of business dealing or interaction. It's always about trying to screw the other guy and get as much as you can out of the situation. They're just unabashed about doing this. Unabashed. And it's like, I got to find this.
Israelis.
Yeah, that's like literally like their entire attitude. Always, everywhere. Just complete lack of scruples, lack of concern for how it's going to affect other people, being fair, being objective. They don't do that.
Right.
They're just relentless. They are fucking relentless.
Right.
And honestly, I don't want to emulate that behavior. I just want to contain that, put it somewhere else at the very least, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to out-Jew the Jew. I want them to go away.
No. You don't out-Jew the Jew because you don't want to become like a Jew. What you have to do, as you said, the hack is you just put them in their own category. This is why they made anti-Semitism into this massive taboo, because anti-Semitism is basically saying Jews are like a special category of shitty and they need to be treated differently than others. Right? Now, I wouldn't even say that is really true about like blacks, right? Now, blacks come in a special category of shitty in their own way. But if we just applied an objective set of rules, that problem will be taken care of. Blacks need you to act just like just, but Jews also do. Like they need you to actively. The thing is, like blacks, what they do is like let's we have rules. They, obviously, blacks can't measure up, so we're going to kind of uncomfortably make exceptions, and everyone kind of gets what's going on. No one really wants to talk about it, and it's embarrassing. So they kind of just keep getting away with it. With Jews, it's like you have to pretend like the rules are like you have to come up with. You have to like really morally endorse the idea that Jews are exempt from all rules. Like they do. Like Eli David, there was a tweet I saw where
that
he said
so fucking bad.
Yeah, yes,
oh,
he
man.
Said, or is fucking it? Is it? It's guy. Eli David, right? That's the one. He's the one who's on Twitter.
It's
okay.
Disgusting. It's I'll fucking see disgusting.
Eli
Zionist.
Beer. Eli Beer is the fucking Hatzalah ambulance guy or spokesman who said that there was 40 burned babies. Eli David.
You're
is
talking
Twitter
about
guy, right?
Dr. Eli David.
Yes,
I see his tweets all the time. He's one of the biggest
saying,
pieces of shit to ever exist.
He was saying on Twitter. This is funny. He was saying on Twitter, "I'm boycotting South Africa." And somebody came at him like, "Oh, wait, what? Excuse me? You're boycotting South Africa? So boycotting countries is okay now?" And he said, "Like you," he says this, "is you stupid cow. I'm not against all boycotts. I'm against boycotting Israel." And it's like,
okay, so we're just a partisan Zionist kike. All
right.
Right,
but he says like I'm against boycott, but he tried to add, but then here's what he added. He adds Israel because it's the only Jewish state. I'm like, right, so once again, reaffirming this idea that Jews
where's my white
be,
state? Where's my white state?
Right.
Can I have one?
Jews should
just
be
one.
And it, not only they should be that it's the morally correct and morally upstanding position to exempt Jews from all the rules. Oh, you want to make You want to apply human rights? You want to do a human rights report on the Jewish state? Oh, you must want to be framing them for genocide. It's like, well, is there grounds for that? Grounds.
Right.
So it's just like,
oh,
yeah.
No.
It's just like, nah, dude.
One of these base Chinese accounts just followed me back. He's going to be disappointed.
What, because he doesn't want to be talking? He doesn't
want to... This is because you're such a cuck compared to the base Chinese.
No, because I don't post anything remotely productive on my Twitter. I just wanted to follow these base Chinese people that are like yelling at like U.S. media.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's actually probably. I mean, one wonders like who and where they are and what they're coming from and what's going on. But like that's fairly reflective of the attitudes on Chinese social media. If anything, they're toning it down a bit, because from my understanding is like Weibo or Weabo or whatever is just like openly just anti-Semitic, like constantly just like ripping on.
Well, this guy just followed. He has like a very problematic, like, his little avatar icon is, it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. See, this happens because to a significant extent, the major players in the world today.
Well, he's calling the Jews demons, essentially, like using a swastika, like calling someone a Nazi, calling someone a demon,
right?
And he's putting a swastika inside a Star of David. Therefore, he's doing an anti-Semitism.
Oh, he is doing an anti-Semitism.
It's just like, bro, come on.
I know, but see, here's the reason this happens, and I understand why it's frustrating to people. It's because, like, frankly, all the major powers in the world today are beneficiaries of the post World War II era. None of them can say, actually, like, the Nazis were actually right. Like, none of them are going to say that, right?
Right.
People will say that, but no government or. And one wonders, like, where these base Chinese people are coming from. If they're not, like, being sponsored in some way to put this shit out there by the Chinese government, I wouldn't be surprised if they were, but who knows? I don't really care if they are. It's
who cares if the Chinese government, like, sponsors these guys to go out there and put out
the
truth.
I don't give a fuck. No, you know? I don't care.
Like, they're talking about two-state solutions. They're talking about condemning Israel for genocide.
Right,
they're talking about, like, well, this guy's doing, like, sheep and wolf's clothing bits about the consequences for the U.S. if they bomb Taiwan. It's like, all right, I'll allow it. You know, whatever. You try to rile these people up.
I was saying, frankly, from when the Ukraine war started, I was out there saying what these countries should do is put some fucking pressure on Israel.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you affect what the United States is going to do. If you just, because they don't give a shit about Ukraine. I mean, they don't, they want Ukraine as a strategic piece of their chess puzzle, right? They don't give a shit about the people of Ukraine. Like, killing Ukrainian soldiers doesn't get you... They're not going to budge. They don't care. What? They will keep pumping weapons in And they will keep getting, they're going to get, they'll get Ukraine to recruit 15-year-old girls into their military. They don't give a shit. They're, in fact, that's just, may as well, right? But Israel, that's the pressure point at which you will get the United States to actually fucking react. And that's smart. That's why they should be doing it. So, I, you know, that so again, if they're going to go do that, you know, that's good for them. But, yeah. So.
Yep. We're going to talk about,
We can talk about that.
Five for fighting.
But I do, I also, we can also talk about, I do want to talk also, but I'll have to send this, you know, it's, this Yair Rosenberg article in the Atlantic. This should be kind of fun, but we can do, I don't know.
Yeah, that's good too.
Which one we want to do first.
Well, it's, that's
a funny fucking title of a song.
Huh?
That's a funny title.
No, I heard you. What did he say?
I said there's never a wish better than this when you've only got 100 years to live.
Oh, I don't know that song. You're talking about that before.
Yeah,
what? You don't fucking know that song?
I don't think so. I don't recognize you, like,
reciting
the words.
That was all over the radio.
But I love this. Grammy nominated this. I'm with the National Review. Forgive
me. I'm sorry.
I
didn't listen to the radio.
Grammy nominated artist, meaning loser. It wouldn't say nominated if he won one.
Right.
releases 10-7 protest song.
Grammy loser.
We are not okay. Do you really need, like, a protest song for October? Like, what does that even mean? Like, you're just doing a Zion, like, pro-Jew song.
Yeah.
What are you protesting? Is there some massive powers that be, like, that, like, yeah, yes, that, like, did 10-7? And you're just, like, speaking truth to power?
This is actually the... This is... That's one of the fucking...
I mean, that's just an...
That's one of the pretenses of this shit.
Yeah.
And that's what drives me nuts about this, is that the Jews are mad. And if you read their stuff, it is like seething throughout all the Jewish stuff that you read, that, like, all these people that are supposedly care about human rights, and they don't care about all the poor Jews killed. It's like, yeah, no, they don't. They don't.
It's five for Zioning.
I'd say it's like...
So he says, Grammy-nominated recording artist John Ondrasik, known by the stage name Five for Fighting, released a protest song condemning skyrocketing anti-Semitism across, like, America and the glorification of Hamas and its atrocities. Yeah, there's only one
Why
guy.
Doesn't he go fight then? Also, like, he says he's like, you know, you're singing, you're not fighting.
We are not
you're
all right, the song opens.
Songs.
We are not all right when we see girls pulled from their homes, dragged into the streets, and when we see grandmothers being pulled away to children shot in front of the family. Boy, those are some awful... Is he writing
does
the streets
he have any
of family?
Internal? What's the rhyme structure of this?
We are not all right when right here in the city of New York you have those who celebrate the same at the same time when the devastation is taking place.
Dude, can we get a listen to this song? Should we do this to ourselves?
Let's do it. I want to do it. I want to do it.
This is a time for choosing.
Let's do some transformative content on the actual song.
He says, "This is a time for choosing." I know we can talk to. This is a time for choosing. He sings against body cam footage of Hamas terrorists committing atrocities on October 7th. This is a time to mourn. The moral man is losing.
Dude,
moral man, like the nation that harbors and hides known pedophiles.
Before,
is the moral man.
Before we do this, mm-hmm, do me one thing. Go to the Five for Fighting homepage, which if you Google Five for Fighting and then put it up on the screen, if you Google it, it should come up as a top link. Because obviously Google's going to promote this fucking kike-loving shill shit. And I want everyone to see the homepage of this fucking loser. Is that it? Yes. Wait, how come you're not getting what I got? Okay, you're on bio? /bio? Just go to the root. Go to the root.
Why did it give me /bio for the top link?
Why does it give different things?
MLK Jr.
So there's a big picture.
Oh boy, then we got some Ukraine shit.
Of MLK.
You can watch that video. Can one man save the world? Who? Zelensky? Meet the heroes?
This kind of shit is why, like, I will never support this fucking garbage. I will never support this shit. I'm sorry. Fuck you.
Blood on my hands from the White House? What is that about?
He's probably, like, mocking the people that are saying that, like...
Oh, this is blood on my hands.
That, like...
Oh, my God, it's a 7-minute video.
He's probably mocking, like, protesters saying you have blood on your hands for, like, killing Palestinians or something. He's like, yeah, I do.
Before
I'm glad you're fessing up to it, that. Bro.
Before what?
Just play a little bit of this. Surely you guys will recognize this song.
took the Taliban just
so
one
is this
week.
Guy like just the official he's like the singer he's like the sing he's like
just,
the
just
neocon.
A few bars of this.
Oh, this stupid song.
Yeah,
yeah
that's
song.
That's the song, right? Everybody's
I'm
heard
sorry,
it.
It sounds a little different than like if you only had 100 years to live.
Right.
Well, hey, if you're a kid in Gaza, you don't have 100 years to live. Making our way back from my home. This guy sucks. Dude, I hope this guy gets
a worse falsetto than Rob Halford.
Worse than like Robert Plant.
Oh God!
To regain control of Afghanistan.
Disaster unfolding very quickly. This is really
dude. This is like one of the most
sad piano music.
This is like almost like this is one of the most absurd form pieces of art. Like you have Secretary of State Blinken news coverage of something that no one actually really gave a shit about. And he's like got like he's got like sad piano music over it. Like there's some profound no. Like nobody cared about this. Like people were just like, okay, glad that's over. I guess it was a little messy on the way out, but glad it's over with. From the sky,
Afghan mothers passing their children to American soldiers over an airport wall.
It is insane. There are people holding their American passports.
I can't believe the world abandoned Afghanistan. Our friends are going to get killed. They're going to kill us.
No, no, they're just going to be put in burqas.
She speaks really good English.
Yeah, where did you... Why do you speak English with... Why do you speak that
she
with an
Israeli
American
or
accent?
Something?
Yeah, like...
And now has a list of people who are working for the Americans. This effectively can be turned into a kill list.
Why is this speaking an Australian accent?
Why shouldn't it be? Like, why shouldn't they have a list of people that collaborated with
yeah,
the
like
occupying
power?
Yeah,
if you collaborate with an occupier and that occupier gets driven out, yeah, your number, like,
maybe
there's a target
should,
on your
maybe
back.
Maybe they should go
that's
around the country
works.
And, like, slowly, like, take down their statues and then throw people in jail for no reason. Oh, no, just kill them.
I mean, this guy is literally doing a song where he's like, oh, no, collaborators with an imperialist occupier are going to get the local population is going to take revenge on those that collaborated with an imperialist occupying country.
But the imperialist occupying country was letting letting women dance and not wear burqas.
And the funniest thing is, like, who is this for? Like, literally, nobody gives a shit. Like, in the U.S., nobody cared. Like, they actually tried to make this an issue that they were going to attack Biden with, and they just, like, abandoned it because, like, no one cared.
What's the guy from My Chemical Romance doing on the news?
Is that like a is that like a person in the midst of hormone therapy that works for the U.S. military? Because that's what it looks like to me.
These Afghan allies who desperately need our evacuation. This is a
My Chemical Romance with like HRT therapy.
It was like
my HRT romance. It's literally like it's just the.
Oh my god!
Here we go.
Man, he looks like shit.
Got blood on my hands.
What the fuck?
Got blood on my hands.
Wait, where's this piano?
Well, yeah,
where's this piano? I'm confused. This is off-brand.
Well, and I don't. You do have blood on your hands because you sing songs supporting Israel.
Wait, so the blood on your the blood on your hands is when you leave. The country you've been occupying for 20 years that you had no real business being?
Yeah.
That's the blood on the hands. Not like the previous 20 years with all the...
Also, not like supporting Israel. I mean, I know this is predates that, sure, but like, it's like you fundamentally do. Like, this guy is... Actually, of all artists, you probably have blood on your hands the most because all you do is sing, like, supporting U.S. and Jewish war. Like, you are literally like the you are like the war whisperer. Oh, like, man. Who the fuck... Like, this guy should just actually be, like, banned from everything.
I forgot the genre that he belongs to. He's part of what they call adult contemporary.
Yeah, I was going to say adult contempo.
Just gay.
Adult contemporary.
But it's also, like...
Adult gay.
It's like John Hooper Mellencamp.
Where's, like, the
no,
new...
John Mellencamp is infinitely superior to this. I'm sorry. Like, like, look. No, because John Mellencamp actually has songs that, like, pull at your heartstrings a little bit. This guy does not. This is garbage. And John Mellencamp doesn't sing to like justify like bombing children in Gaza and shit like that.
So,
like,
he's of Slovak descent.
Even if you hate John Mellencamp, which I don't, it's infinitely superior.
I'm gonna give you four words. We are not all right.
Well,
we are not
like,
all right.
So
we
yeah,
see
all Jewish music festival foot. Oh, paratroopers!
There you go. Beast.
Yeah.
Nice. I want to put my own song over this video.
waves and children shot in front of the family.
Wait, so there's like a nigger?
Why is there like a nigger hype man?
I'll tell you why, because he's a conservative. At the same time when the devastation is taking place. So that's like, so that's what it is. Not, he's not singing it to some nigger.
Oh, he sounds terrible.
Dude. This
is a time. Yeah, well, I think I got warmed up there. Are these Jews?
That's a Jewish woman not being murdered and raped by Palestinians.
Forbidden loss for long. There's more people not being killed. I
don't understand. They put a hat on that woman to cover her from the sun. How you can look
yourself in the mirror. Oh God! Oh right. My daughter! I don't understand. I don't understand. How did that blood fill up your eyes?
They're just showing all this base stuff that Hamas does. It's great. Oh God. We are not. Oh, I hate this device. You're adding a word every time you sing the line. We are.
We are not okay. We're not all right.
The Hebes are not all right. Right, like the kids, they are all right. Isn't that a song?
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Oh, all right, shut
dude,
up.
Dude, this is like, that is so, brutal. Like, there's nothing redeeming about this. Like, the message... Nor the it's not good music.
Oh, here's a nice lie.
It's not a good message.
Here's a nice lie. Is to reflect this song was not a political Sorry. One. It's not a pro-Israeli video. It's not an anti-Palestinian video.
No, it is.
Frankly, the hero of this video is a Palestinian woman. If anything, it is an anti-evil video. If any group, any nation took hostage, committed these atrocities, this song would remain the same. Only the names would change.
So no. do another one about bombing innocent people in Gaza.
If we cannot condemn evil acts, raping, murdering women, young girls, kidnapping grandmothers, beheading babies, putting babies in ovens, baking them in front of their parents.
What about killing 25,000 students?
What about like carpet bombing entire cities with no regard to the fact that half the people living in them are children? What about killing 25,000 people, half of them children? What about doing that with absolutely no remorse? What about blockading 2 million people, cutting them off from food?
But none of the things that he said happened.
That's true.
Like, where's the evidence for any of this? Like, he's saying putting babies in ovens, baking them in front of their parents, filming it, and sending them to the victims' families. Okay, give me.
Yeah,
so we have
no
the
evidence.
Videos then.
There's no.
Well, let's see the
that.
Videos.
Yeah, you're actually lying. Yeah,
show me a video, and then you have to prove me the video's not fake.
Let's like
one.
We should actually make sure to debunk these fucking. Because again, it's like, why are you laundering these bullshit claims, dude?
Like, if we cannot condemn that without words like context, but.
No.
Context,
no.
But those aren't like the context.
The context is that's not true.
The context is your guys turn around and bombed a bunch of hospitals.
And frankly, like,
and schools.
There's something else here, which is that like they know that the people that they're attacking, that pro-Palestine people, the anti-Israel people, whatever, the people that are condemning Israel and all that stuff, they know that they don't believe that shit, right? And they never add that context. You leave out the context that, by the way, the people I'm condemning don't actually believe that these things are true. They've actually been paying attention and have learned that these things are not true. I'm pretending that they're true, and I'm pretending that the people that I'm attacking believe that they're true, so you, the uninformed reader of National Review, will in fact get a distorted moral picture of the people that we're talking about. These things are not true. They are lies. And they're also going to pretend like the people are saying their lies are like that's actually a way of targeting Jews. It's like, yes, I suppose, but actually telling the truth, I guess, is a way of targeting Jews.
Yeah.
Right? So you can actually just tell the truth.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, you're targeting Jews. Like, there was no evidence of these 40 burned up babies.
Nope.
No evidence of the beheadings. Even their fucking case about rape, which the New York Times, once again, playing into the Zionist playbook, made a big deal about, was proven false within, like, a matter of days. There, in that entire big New York Times spread on rape. It was false. It was fake. They don't have the evidence of any of that. None of it. And, like, well, why don't you just believe what we're saying? Well, I don't, because, frankly, you're liars, and also you're massacring people in broad daylight for the whole world to see. Everybody can see it.
This is fake news.
Legitimately, they should take
they
this down.
They didn't know they were taking a picture about sexual assault either. They just are standing around looking sad about the attack in general. And then this story got rewritten to be about, and it says,
well, it was about their relatives.
How Hamas weaponized sexual violence. And this is all just fake.
Their relative was killed on October 7th, having been at that rave, probably killed by the IDF. Because her car was like blown up and she was dead by the side of the road, and she was probably strafed by an IDF helicopter or something like that. But like,
I don't even feel like addressing that kind of shit.
No,
I don't feel like getting mired on October 7th. I hate they're still coasting on those fumes.
I don't really care about that. Like, even if Hamas did kill their relative, well, that was a military operation. She was caught in the middle. Unfortunate, but it happens. But like, also, she's probably a reservist, so she's probably a military target. So so what? But they were told that this was just going to be a celebration of their relative in particular, not some thing about rape. And they said that their relative, in fact, there was no evidence that she was raped. And no one in the Israeli government or anybody ever indicated to her that they thought that she had been raped. That was something made up by the New York Times. Anyway, And man, the Jews are trying to do this. They're really trying to double down on it. Now, there was some extra stuff about what we talked about on Friday, about how the New York Times like launders a pro-Israel position through its use of careful language to its liberal audience, while like dumbass conservatives are told by people like Ben Shapiro and the National Review that the New York Times is anti-Israel and even anti-Semitic. The New York Times, through its use of very selective language, is actually engaging in a sophisticated defense of Israel, and always has been. There was more of this that happened because apparently the Jews killed a Palestinian in the West Bank over the weekend or a few days ago who was an American citizen. A 17-year-old boy who was an American citizen was in the West Bank and was killed by Israeli soldiers a few days ago. And the New York Times has once again that now... Both the New York Times and the Washington Post did very sympathetic profiles of him. They were very sympathetic to the family. They found the people that were related to this kid that lived in America, probably like in Dearborn or something like that. I didn't look up actually where they lived. But they found these people. They did very sympathetic interviews with them and all this stuff. Both of these liberal papers did this. But they never really discussed how he died. He died, according to the New York Times, in a hail of gunfire. And it's like, well, what, hail of gunfire? Somebody made the point. This is a very good point. So the commenter framed this on Meraki's Telegram in the comments. For once, there was actually a good comment there. Someone made the point. Wait, I never saw anyone say, like, Ahmaud Arbery died in, like, a hail of shotgun shells with, like, no actual... no actual person doing the shooting.
Right.
Like, think about this. And this is actually a very good way to contrast
we're,
this.
We're back to like the passive voice again.
Right.
It's a kill of gunfire.
And they also then they cover all of that up by doing like a pathos filled story about how this guy like liked basketball and what his hobbies were and his parents are sad and shit. And you think, you know, if you're a conservative and you're used to like dumb Ben Shapiro style rhetoric, you're going to think like, oh, look at these libtards, these fucking brown people, like terrorists loving libtards, they hate it. It's like, no. What they're doing is they know they have like a libtarded audience who kind of likes the brown underdog narrative, wants to feel good about like a sad, dead brown person. But contrast how they, and they do the whole thing, he loved basketball, he did, you know, that kind of stuff. But they didn't do any examination of how he actually died. That was left unexamined. Well, we're just hail of gunfire. Sometimes over there, things get crazy and it happens. Contrast that with, say, something like the Ahmaud Arbery shooting. How all this sympathetic shit about this nigger criminal, who probably is a significantly worse person than this Palestinian kid was. This Palestinian kid, there's no evidence he was a criminal. There's no evidence he was a bad person at all. But you have actually, in America, you have nigger criminals that are in the course of committing crimes that get this totally sympathetic treatment, and then their killing is obfuscated from the exact opposite direction, where the white cop or the white person defending themselves, like in the case of the McMichaels family, It's presented like this Satan himself. So if you want, if you don't think the New York Times is biased in favor of Israel, imagine them treating white people the way they treat like Israel in one of these situations. So if Israel kills an actually innocent person and is completely shielded, where in America, if a white person has an altercation with or kills a white police officer or a white civilian, altercation with or kills a completely guilty black person, they are presented as Satan himself. So that's how you know you're dealing with actually a systematic pro-Jew bias on the part of the New York Times. And it is actually a sophisticated defense of Israel. And they are distracting you by giving you a tear-filled story about how this Palestinian kid loved to play basketball and video games, just an average kid. And it's like, okay, but yes, average kid liked video games and basketball and was shot in the head by Jewish troops.
Yep.
For his race. And actually, there's no evidence he was ever a criminal at all. And you could say, oh, but why is he an American? Well, he's in America because Jews want to clear him and his family out of their actual homeland. I respect him for being actually in Palestine. That's why he's in America.
See, that's why I don't like some of the rhetoric I hear about this kind of stuff. Like, oh, I'm just across the board. I'm against Palestine and Israel and being involved and all this stuff. It's, you know, just I want to keep out of that. Like, no.
I'm against anonymous hails of gunfire that just come out of nowhere.
Yeah,
that's basically what that amounts to.
My question is
ambiguous like weaponry that appears and makes people die. Mostly what happens to Jews, though.
My question on that is, like, who are you doing that for when you say that?
Jews.
Israel. Sometimes I don't think that's who they're doing it for. I think sometimes people, when you see, like, the conservatives doing, obviously, they're caping for Jews, right? But, like...
Well, when you do that, whether you want to do it or not, you're doing it for
Jews.
Yes,
whether you want to or not, objectively, you're helping Jews.
Anything, like, any kind of ambiguity about the subject
services
Israel and Zionism. I mean, absolutely. We've been saying that for a long time. That's why the both sidesism or the I don't careism is like, that's just soft Zionism.
Honestly, even if you don't care, just because you
not
don't.
Not caring is Jewish.
Just because you hate. Just because you. If you think there's a Jewish problem and you present yourself as not caring on this, you're actually making that problem worse. So even if you sort of like can't be bothered to care in your own mind for whatever reason that is, you should at least pretend like you care and you really are outraged by everything
some
Jews are doing.
Are so,
you need to put all the pressure on them that you can. All the pressure on them. Don't over fucking think it. When you overthink it, you become a retard, actually.
People who do this are never talking to Jews or anything. They're just talking to each other.
That's my question.
Usually just like cowering from like, it's like, why don't you just say like, yeah, I don't like Jews.
Well, this is my point about...
Why not just like look at the situation objectively and take a principled stance? Be like, I side with Palestine. I don't even have to be a rabid anti-Semite to just look at that situation and say, yeah, Palestine is in the right. Israel is fucking evil. What Israel is doing is wrong, and I'm against Israel.
I'm rabid anti-Semite Israel. Because I started examining this problem 20-some-odd years ago now. Because, as I said, I started looking at U.S. foreign policy when they started bombing, you know, the country where my father's ancestors came from. And I became against it because I was like, wow, this is some bullshit. Now, granted, I went immediately to, like, far-left sources.
Serbia's trunk.
But, like, whatever. And frankly, in those days, the left, they were like, fucking bombing Serbia. This is fucking war criminal state.
You don't have to be a foreign policy expert. You just need to have a brain that works and a functional sense of moral intuition. Just look at the situation, even just look at the fucking cliff notes and say, that's wrong, man. Right. That is absolutely wrong.
And that's
Fuck Israel.
That's why like I say, when you do this, who are you doing it for? Because what Jesse just said, because I do think that like there are people who are in communities sort of adjacent to us who are not doing it for Jews in their own mind, at least. They're doing it for some other reason. Oftentimes, like, well, I don't want to completely alienate the normie or whatever. And my thing on that is, like, look, one, I just don't care about that, okay? I think the thing, people are going to agree with me or they're not.
Well, if you're a normie,
and they're going to detect,
you're wrong.
Yes,
you're just
exactly,
wrong.
Exactly. The normie can be wrong. In fact, almost as a rule, the normie is fucking wrong.
Yeah, like...
That's why
I have to fucking like.
The normie should
fucking...
feel bad about not agreeing with me. Like, that's my point. Like, no. When you put your voice out there, you're trying to influence people, not be influenced by them. I want people more to think like me. I'm going to tell you what I think and say, you should think like this. You should agree with this. I'm not like, oh, I'm worried about what the... Because also, frankly, when you do that, you look fake. People see through
it. You look like shit. And I don't want to be trying to appeal to people who are taking a morally depraved position.
You can hate what I say, but you can't say I'm not telling you exactly what I think. And frankly, I don't care. I'd rather you're mad at me about something I really believe than something fake. The amount of people that are mad at me and us generally about shit that's completely fake. It's ridiculous. Right. Be mad at me about this. Be mad at me about something real.
And for God's sake, stop calling pro-Palestine protesters communists. Just fucking stop that shit.
I mean, that's just a way of trying to like shoehorn it into something that it's not. It's just not. That's not what it's about. This is not about communism versus like non-communism. What's good about
communism doesn't exist.
What's funny, communism is dead. It's been dead for a long time. What's funny is even the people that are anti-communist, capitalism has got such a shit name. You don't see anybody anymore that wants to stand up, except for like basically people who do a lot of drugs and are suspected of things like liking certain types of internet content. But or more than that, maybe even. But you don't really see anyone caping for fucking capitalism anymore. You really don't see anybody going out there like, oh, the free market. No, that shit's going to get you immediate fucking ridicule as well. But, and I guess people will be like, well, I'm for like a third position. I'm like, well, the third position also includes like death to Israel. Sorry. The third position is anti-fucking Zionist across the board. It has to be. If it's not, then there's no point to it. Third position is not like mealy mouth. I don't take either side on Israel and Palestine. Hitler didn't. If you want to go there, Hitler didn't. Yeah. Hitler was pro-Arab. You can look through his fucking record and you can see it. All this stuff, and frankly, there's a lot of shit that's laundered. Or not, this is like lies. Like, anti-Zionists, oftentimes, and some Palestinians even do this too, or at least in America they do, they try to capitalize on the general anti-Nazism of the culture and accuse Jews either of being Nazis or of even like Israel coming into existence by collaborating with Nazis. It's not really true. I could go into the history of it. It's not that relevant, but it's just a false claim. The Nazis actually cut off Jewish immigration to Palestine.
Yeah, when you toss around these labels like communist and Nazi, you're just helping Americans be continuously ignorant on what these things mean. You are promoting a culture of ignorance and stupidity, and you're muddying the waters.
Duh.
I heard an article about this one time.
Like, and you're doing
this type of language just makes people dumb.
It makes people dumb. It makes, as you said, not think about these labels. They're immediate categories that are meant to trigger reactions other than thought. Like, you know, they're meant to trigger like...
Communist, bad.
Right.
That's what... Commie means somebody who's bad that I don't like. Same thing with Nazi.
Right. Right.
And socialist.
Right.
Socialist, commu-Nazis.
Right.
Everywhere.
And so that's just like... I mean... Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. Like, this is what this is what we think, and I'm not going to tell you a lie about it. We never have, never will. Fuck Israel. You should systematically not support them. Even if literally your only motivation is because you don't like Jews. Now, for me, this was sort of a reverse causality where like I started with looking into the issue there and learning about it and being like, that's fucked up. And then being like, all right, now after looking into this, there's something really wrong with Jews. And then that just sort of snowballed. Once I started looking into how Jews behave here as well as there, and it's all part of the same fucking package. And you're not going to get anything from them. As I said, and as we've been saying, the DEI thing is not changing. Jews are like reevaluating DEI.
They just don't use the term.
But
every report I've seen is like they're just not going to call it DEI anymore. They're just going to keep doing it. It's just anti-white hiring practice.
Right. They're going to keep doing it, but they're just going to adjust it to make sure that they do another check to make sure to try and like one. They're putting pressure to make people that are anti-Israel shut up and make them understand they are going to be consequently firing of Claudine Gay was like a shot across the bow to the DEI world and the people who will be future DEI hires. And frankly, the idea that like blacks or like beaners or some of the typically promoted races in America are going to take like a principled stand and risk careers and advancement over Israel, I think is a bad bet. I think it's a bad fucking bet. They're going along with it now, some of them. But it's really not like the general communities of color generally in America are not one way or the other on this. They are legitimately people who can say, I don't care because I don't know anything about that. Ask your average nigger what they really fucking think. They don't have any clue. And if you show them Israel wantonly killing people, they might just like that because they seem to just enjoy violence. So the issue here is like there's like an ideological like people of color thing, which also involves lots of Jews and lots of whites, which has what Jews are now saying is for too long, anti-Zionism has been allowed to fester in these communities. And we're just putting a stop to that. And that's going to be done in a number of ways. One, they're going to start just like actually issuing consequences for being anti-Israel, for not being inclusive of Jews. What they're doing is they're going to force into DEI criteria ideas about inclusivity of Jews. And inclusivity of Jews is going to mean not making Jews feel bad in DEI spaces, which is going to mean no criticism of Israel because criticism.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Israel is discriminatory towards them, makes them feel not included, makes them feel bad. That's why you get all this shit about Jewish students saying, I don't feel included, I don't feel at home, I don't feel good here because these people are saying these things about Israel, I feel targeted as a Jew. They are going to be advised fundamentally to not allow criticism of Israel because it is going to be seen as targeting of Jews, therefore not inclusive of Jews. This is what they mean when they say they're going to reform and expand DEI protocols and criteria, which is exactly what the ADL says they want to do. And I was reading a bunch of articles over the weekend in the New York Times and in the Jewish Telegraph Agency about how they want to do this. And essentially, they're saying, like, don't get rid of DEI, reform it. So it really is going to mean diversity, equity in Israel. That's what it's going to mean. And the inclusivity thing is how they're going to do it. The I is actually key. It's not just, it's Israel, including Israel. Diversity, equity, and including Israel. Because being anti-Israel is going to make Jews feel targeted and not included. So you're not going to be allowed to do it in these spaces that they're creating. And white people are still just going to be out in the cold. That's how that's going to work. That's how it's going to work. I'm calling it right now. It's not even a prediction because I've been reading their fucking playbook on it. Like, I've been reading what they've been saying, how they want to accomplish this. And that's how they're going to do it. So that's what they want to do. And there's no, like, white people are going to get more, better, good jobs. Or, like, none of that.
Yeah.
None of that shit. White people are going to get more positions at Harvard? No. No, they won't.
We've already seen what happens there.
They won't. They won't. Yeah, you get rid of the nigger, and who's there? Who comes in the wake of that nigger? Oh, it's a Jew.
I mean, you could kind of predict, like, okay, so the Jewish supervisors are not happy with what's happening to underlings. They might personally step back in there.
Yeah,
like, take personal control. Can't use those people. Yeah. I guess we can only trust our own team.
I mean, that's kind of what they did with the Biden administration, right? Like, with the Biden administration, they were kind of like, all right, things have gone a little bit off the rails here with this Trump stuff. Like, you know, we kind of got a little off kilter. Let's set the ship right. Like, let's just literally have all our people directly in charge of the most important things. So. Yeah. 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 No, yeah.
Mark.
Yep. Yeah, we can take it. We should go. Yeah. We've got some more stuff for next hour. But
you ready to have lunch on weed?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like weed.
I'm just going to have lunch.
You are listening to The Daily Show-Up.